the self, Zelda Riando. Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Tell us something about your novel, because I was looking on it on the internet, surfing it as you were, and I gather it's a novel about shrunken heads and language and power and dropouts and voyeurs and obsession and... shall I go on, or do you want to go on? Where do we start from? One moment I thought I was into a modern novel, then you take us back to the 18th century.
Yeah, it's set in various different times. The basic story is an explorer who's in South America in the 1850s.
In the Amazon Basin.
Yeah, and basically somewhere between Peru and Ecuador, but exactly where is never quite revealed. But he stumbles across a tribe, which he calls the Capuscripti, who preserve their history by tattooing it on their heads. Then, after they die, they shrink the heads and almost keep them like history books. This explorer, he's kind of turned off by the technology of the age and the Industrial Revolution, so he thinks he's found some people who still speak the original language, which everybody supposedly spoke before the Tower of Babel was destroyed. So he preserves this language in his notebooks and learns it while he lives there. And then his descendant, who's a photographer who might be a bit cracked in the head, decides that he can resurrect it by recreating their practices on hapless Londoners that he comes across in his travels. So that's kind of the basic plot.
I see you grinning away there. You obviously enjoyed writing it as well. I should say we've had lots of people emailing us on the show saying we should definitely have you in because they've logged on to your site on the internet and discovered this book. But how else would people discover it?
Well, I've been seeding search engines with terms like head shrinking and serial killing.
That grabs the imagination immediately.
Yeah. Well, I've actually had someone from NYPD download it. I think they probably were looking for serial killers. It got a bit of a shock, but... apart from that, just through mailing lists, word of mouth, you probably heard of the phenomenon of viral marketing on the web. So I guess it's a kind of a viral approach to it. People will email it to their friends. And
do you find that people have been doing that? Because, of course, on your website, you've got, when you enter the website, you say, right, tell me who you are, give me your email address, and also tell me what you think of the book at the end. Do you find that people have been... well, responding to that in the first instance, but also passing the 5 chapters that you can download immediately to their friends?
Basically, when I get an email whenever someone downloads it, and then I just mail them back and go, well, enjoy it. And then if they want to get any more of it, all they have to do is email me and I'll send them the rest of the book. It's been pretty successful, I think. A few hundred downloads.
You're a lot more organised than most authors. I mean, as I said, the poets have managed to get themselves sorted out on the internet, and probably the way to read modern poetry now is to log on to some poetry sites and so on, but you don't see so many novelists doing it. And I suppose it's because they learned, a while ago that, it's not easily, you can't easily become successful on this, because Stephen King tried and failed.
Yeah, but I think he's coming at it from a different perspective.
How different?
He's taking his fame in the real world and then attempting to create a business plan whereby he gets people to buy the book on the web. And he's obviously had issues with that, with people trying to hack in and download it for free, whereas what I'm trying to do is just create dialogue with readers so that they can email me back, give me plot ideas, and develop it.
So you're not interested in making money on it?
I wouldn't mind getting it published, in a more traditional sense at some point. So
actually, the way you've published it is not the way you'd like to have published it.
I wouldn't entirely say that. I mean, I've been publishing my poetry on the web for about 6 years, because I've been working as a website producer and designer for that time. And that's really worked, you start to get links into other sites, and that's actually going to be on an interactive display in Huddersfield. So you see, kind of builds its own steam. I'd say I'd always like to be involved in both media, so I'd like to have it on bookshelves just because my grandmother hasn't got a web connection,
We'll try and sort that out for your grandmother shortly, not just on this show, if you don't mind. But nevertheless, you would like publishers to read it. Maybe get back to you one way or another on that as well, just out of interest, do you know how many people, what people have been thinking about it? You said the people replied to you and so what kind of comments have they been making about the novel?
Well, some people are a bit taken aback by the detailed descriptions of head shrinking, which occur at various points in it. the feedback I've got, I went to the Amazon for 2 months and lived with head-shrinking tribes to research how they live. And a lot of people have said they really like that part, those parts of the book.
You actually went there?
Yeah.
You see, I didn't know that an internet author would have all the funds to go and research a story like that.
Yeah, well, you know, I have various means of funding myself through web design and such like. So
good. No, I'm only kidding when I say that. But, you know, a lot of published
authors... I've always wanted to go to the Amazon as well. So.
That's a good reason as any. But a lot of published authors don't go and do their research. You know, they read it. I remember, was it Dermot Bulger, this Irish author who I really respect, actually. So I'm not knocking him at all, but saying to me that, you know, in this character in his books, a Nigerian Yoruba-speaking woman, and he says, well, I found out about the Yoruba and all the language from reading one of those teach yourself Yoruba books. That ruined it for me, that part. But to find out that you actually went there, I suppose, makes it slightly more real.
I lived on catfish and piranhas for a few weeks.
I saw, wasn't it Ewan McGregor that did that on some documentary program a little while back? One of these documentary programs where you go off and do some exciting little thing like, I suppose, you know, some daredevil little thing with that guy that kills snakes and so on. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, but I'm getting myself confused on it. On the whole, has it been successful to publish the book on the net or not?
Yeah. I mean, it's starting to generate interest in different areas. So, yeah, I think so.
I haven't even given people the title. What's it called?
Capa Scripti.
That was why I couldn't remember it, you see. Well, what does that mean, Capa Scripti?
Capa Scripti, it means head writers, literally. It's a kind of fake Latin word that I made up, but capo means head, and scripti is writing.
So. Oh, capo de capo, you see. Yeah. Now, immediately, I know. You should have called it capo de capo.
That's a good idea.
No, I'm only kidding there. Okay, you can download the first 5 chapters when you go on. How do we get to read the rest of the book?
You just email me, zelda@badzelda.com, and then I'll send you the rest.
Hang on, that's zelda@badzelda.com.
Yeah.
That's why I asked you to say it again. Naughty girl. So, and you'll just send us... How much of the book have we not read? I've read 5 chapters, so how much more of the book
is
there?
There's about 30 chapters. Yeah, 30, in fact.
So I've read 1/6 of the book.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hardly fair for me to comment on it, but I'm enjoying it so far. Oh. Will the rest be as enjoyable?
Yeah, I mean, you start to introduce other characters, and then it starts moving around the world as well, so... I think you'll find there's some excitement and suspense in there.
Well, it's a lot of excitement and suspense just hearing you tell us about how you published it on the net and so on. And I think it's a really good thing to do. You're going to have to teach me how to do it, set up my own website and make, you know, get all those buttons where they can email you, then you email them back and all that.
Oh, none of it's rocket science.
It's not rocket science. Yeah. Thank you very much for that. So you're suggesting that I'm ignorant. Thank you very much, Zelda.
No, I didn't mean
come
that
on
at
my
all.
Show and abuse me. No. I'm only kidding. Well done for that. The book is called Capo Scripti. You see, what I'm getting confused with is Scritti Politti, which I'm sure is another Latin word. Capo Scripti.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's written by my guest, Zelda Riando. We can get hold of it by logging on. Give us the website address again.
www.caposcripti.com.
You better spell Capo Scripti then.
CapoScripti. Or badzelda.com, you can get to it from there as well.
Bad Zelda is even easier because we don't all speak Latin, do we? Thanks very much. I'm only teasing you. Thanks a lot. You've told us about the book you've published on the internet. People that probably won't read it are people that are going on the tube. But let's find out what they're reading currently on the tubes in London.